Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's over there.
Sometimes the satellite doesn't come offline when it's supposed to.
Reed is doing his thing. Today, we're in, of course, in the midst of ordinary time, but the church commemorates St. Hilary, who is from the 4th century, doctor of the church. And we forget that at this time, there was a lot of heresy that was going on. The main one, the Arian heresy, was denying the divinity of Christ. And it's one that is extremely important to understand because Trinitarian theology is complex. But it's something where I'm so glad that we had individuals like him to work these things out. So we ask for his intercession this morning as we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we may rightly understand and truthfully profess the divinity of your Son, which the Bishop St. Hilary taught with such constancy, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Coles Murphy Glover and Associates. They're an engineering firm offering plant design and layout for churches, schools, shipyards,
material handling facilities,
and more. Call CMG and Associates at 251-433-1611 or go to cmg-a.com.
Just do it without the music.
I don't know if I can. All right. Here are your news headlines for Friday, January 13, 2023. A giant storm system came across the south on Thursday, killed at least six people in central Alabama, where a tornado ripped off roofs and uprooted trees in historic Selma. In Ogtua? Is that how you say that county? I don't know. It's in Alabama, 41 miles northeast of Selma. At least six people were killed, and an estimated 40 homes were damaged or destroyed by the tornado. It cut a 20-mile path across the two counties. Attorney General Merrick Garland on Thursday named Robert Hur, a former U.S. attorney during the Trump administration, as special counsel to examine why classified documents were found in President Biden's home and office. Intensifying scrutiny on Mr. Biden's actions after he left the office of vice presidency. Lisa Marie Presley, the only child of Elvis, died of cardiac arrest yesterday. She was 54. She's survived by her mother, Priscilla, and her three surviving children, daughters Riley, 33, and twins Harper and Finley, 14. Her only son, Benjamin, took his own life at the age of 27 in July 2020. She's generally led a low-profile life, but was married four times, one of them to Michael Jackson. Tesla cut prices for its vehicles sold in the U.S. by nearly 20%. Todd, now you can get one. They're aimed at buyers that will be able to get that $7,500. I forget what it's called, and I forgot to write it down. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You can get a rebate, Todd, and get it. They cut actually prices on all of their models, which is very interesting. And weather today, the high is only around 51, low in the 30s tonight, and windy. And there's your news. Indeed. I don't know. It didn't have the same effect without the music, Mike.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
He's working on
technical difficulties.
Yep. Oh. Always look forward to Friday mornings when Media Czar Tom McDonald comes on. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So you wanted to talk first. Let's start with the quote-unquote children's movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my first question is, before I launch into it, Todd, did you watch this?
No.
Oh, the Pinocchio one?
Because my kids weren't interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it's a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, some listeners might remember that I reviewed the Disney Plus live action, if you want to call it that, live action remake of Pinocchio. And I was pretty hard on that movie. That one starred Tom Hanks as Geppetto.
Oh, yes.
And other than Tom Hanks being a live action human being, nothing else about the movie was live action. It was all CGI. So to call it live action, I think we're stretching that term a little bit. And it really mirrored the cartoon. You know, it was one of these deals where you watch it and you ask yourself, was there any reason for that to exist? Did that
wow.
You know, my understanding of the story, did it have to shed some new insight? And the answer was no. And that's true of many of those Disney remakes. Now, some of them are excellent, but many of them just really fall flat and have no reason to be other than cash grab. And that's Pinocchio felt like the worst of that. Well, around the same time, I had heard that another version of Pinocchio was coming out. This one by director Guillermo del Toro, who has made some really interesting movies over the years that tend to be a very adult and a very dark-tinged movies. He probably is most well-known for how he got his start, which was the movie Hellboy, which was based on a graphic novel or comic book. And what some people noticed about Hellboy was that it had enough Catholic imagery in it to make people think, okay, this guy sort of knows a little bit about Catholicism. And in a positive sense, not in a negative sense. Now, I've never seen that original Hellboy movie, so mm-hmm. I can't speak to whether it's really good or not, but that's what I had heard about it. And he's made some other interesting movies that have been, you know, some have been nominated for Oscars and things, and I've seen a couple, but not all of them. So when I heard he was making this, I thought, this is really interesting, because this is, you know, if you think about the concept of Pinocchio as a fairy tale, as with most classic fairy tales, if you go back to the source material, and when most people, they think source material fairy tales, they think the Disney version, right?
That is true.
And that's actually not the case at all. You know, Walt Disney wasn't he was a genius, but he wasn't a genius in the sense of he wasn't making up these fairy tales. He was grabbing them from pre-existing stories that have been around for a very long time and sanitizing them. He cleaned them up and presented them in a way that families can enjoy and you wouldn't have to worry about kids being freaked out and all that sort of thing. If you go back really to these original fairy tales, most of them are very dark. You know, they have very dark themes. And they were for children, but the idea was children needed to kind of confront this and be guided through these lessons by being told these fairy tales in a way that would kind of introduce dark realities of life to them before they had to confront them in real life. So Disney sanitized all that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily know if I disagree with that, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. What I'm saying is that there is room for and value in both of those perspectives, mm-hmm. Depending on the story and depending on the kid and what they need. So I think there's room for something like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which I can run through how it's different. The first thing is, it is not CGI. I mean, there's probably some, and it's not live action. It is stop motion animation. So for our generation, you know, we have an appreciation for that because we grew up with that with Rudolph and all that sort of thing. And it's also stop motion is so meticulous and is so labor and love intensive that you got to appreciate that. So stop motion animation. And the story is not a cookie cutter version like the Disney version. When you watch this, you realize, okay, this is darker. This is somewhat stranger. But it also operates at a greater depth of thought and themes. and it is dark. But one thing I'll say is that Guillermo del Toro's background in Catholicism is very, very evident. I mean, it's not subtle. It's right there. In this version, Geppetto, it begins with Geppetto mourning the loss of his son. And you see his son, his relationship with his son, who dies tragically. And you even see how his son dies. And it's very tragic that the opening of this film is very much like, has the emotional impact of the opening of Up.
Wow.
It's very strong and powerful. And you see in that relationship the importance of the church in their family, the Catholic Church. I mean, there's Geppetto's main project as a carpenter, as a woodworker he's working on, is he's carving and crafting a beautiful, massive crucifix for the local church in their Italian village.
Wow.
For the priest. They pray before meals. I mean, he has the crucifix and a rosary on in his home. And I mean, it's clearly obvious. And so when this tragedy happens, the death of his son, he has a crisis of, you know, he's angry and in a kind of a drunken stupor. That's when he decides he's gonna carve a new son out of wood. And because he does it when he's drunk, it's ugly. And he's only got one ear, for example. And it doesn't look like a boy, like in Disney. It looks like a crude figure you'd carve out of wood. And which then comes to life. Now, when the blue fairy shows up from the story, the blue fairy is not, you know, a feminine or attractive of kind of womanly figure. The blue fairy looks like angels as they're described in the book of Revelation. Hmm. Intimidating, scary, covered with eyeballs. I mean, it's like, it's weird. But I saw that and thought that's how Revelation describes the physical manifestation of an angel. So it's very interesting. Anyhow, I won't go into every single, you know, detail, but to say that the setting is interesting. He sets the story during World War II. And so this is taking place during the fascist rule of Mussolini in Italy. Mm-hmm. And that is a cloud that hangs over all this. So one changes. And the plot point where, you know, all the boys go to that sort of carnival thing to live a life of eating sweets and just having fun and debauchery and all that sort of thing that Pinocchio gets swept up into. Here, instead of that, all the boys very eagerly go to a military training camp and learn how to fire guns and become soldiers and that sort of thing. So it's really so that there's commentary on war, there's commentary on violence, life and death. Pinocchio, through different jams he finds himself in, Pinocchio, and I'll just, this is kind of seems kind of shocking. Pinocchio gets killed multiple times in this movie, and goes to some version of the afterlife, which is very bizarre, but then he gets sent back because it's explained to him he's not really alive, you know, so he can't really die. So we're going to send you back. And they keep sending him back. And every time he dies, he can learn some more of a lesson about how to live life. But the whole journey is him learning how to become selfless. Hmm. He starts off very selfish. He becomes selfless. So there's a depth here that is far deeper than the Disney version. And it might be intense for small children, but I think for adolescents on up, This is thought provoking and worth watching and worth the time for a family to spend watching it. Aside from, you know, more highly sensitive kids, I think that this is Del Toro is trying to do something new and different here, and I really, really appreciate that.
All right, you sold me. This is going to be our family Friday movie night
this
evening.
What platform is it on again?
Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
Just Netflix. Mm-hmm.
When did did this just come out recently? I don't know why.
I believe in November.
Okay. I hadn't heard a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. I think my kids saw one preview and they just weren't enthralled by it. So, like, one time I mentioned, I'm like, hey, let's watch that new Pinocchio movie. And they're like, nah. So, but now I'll be like, hey, Tom McDonald, Media Czar, says this is this is thumbs up. So we're watching this tonight with popcorn.
All right, a lot of pressure on me.
I know.
You've always pulled through, Tom. You've always pulled through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. So you got, if you don't like it, you just keep that to yourself.
So there was another movie, but more for adults that you wanted to talk about, right, Tom?
Yeah. So a few years ago, the movie Knives Out came out, starring Daniel Craig as Benoit Blanc, a Southern detective. Kind of in the vein of Agatha Christie films, the whodunit with a whole cast of stars, and he comes in and solves the crime and everything. That movie was very well received, very popular. I was bored.
I liked it.
Well, Ellen, and you're like everybody. Every person I've talked to who saw it liked it.
Okay.
I'm the only person I know who didn't like it, and I'm not even blaming the movie or people who like it. I like that you like it. I understand why people like it. And I finally have come to the realization that this is just not my genre. I was trying to think of a whodunit murder mystery kind of movie that I've enjoyed, and I couldn't come up with one. So I think I just don't appreciate this genre as much as other people. So that's the caveat here. So Glass Onion is the sequel to Knives Out, but the only thing in common is Daniel Craig again plays the Southern detective. But the story, all the other characters, everything else about it is independent. So you could watch these movies in either order. It wouldn't matter. And the funny thing about Daniel Craig, you know, he's been super serious as James Bond for so long now, and he's a British actor who never smiles in those films. Well, you watch him in this, and he's got this heavy Georgia-sounding Southern drawl, which is funny, coming out of his mouth, and he smiles, and he's charming. I mean, it is as far away from James Bond as you could get, and he really does a fantastic job playing this role. But what I got the giggles watching it, especially early on in the movie, because I was watching it with my daughter, Emma, and I said, okay, as you watch and you listen to him talk, just imagine Dr. McCrummon doing this instead. Because he sounded...
Oh, my goodness. You would not believe this Glass Onion. Oh, it make me cry.
So he really did sound a lot like him. Anyway, but it also stars people like Dave Bautista, and Edward Norton and others who are pretty well known cast. And the basic plot premise is that Edward Norton plays an Elon Musk sort of eccentric billionaire figure who has his own island and his own big complex, and he's working on ideas and all this sort of stuff. And he invites a group of old friends to come spend a weekend with him at his island, where they're going to play a game of murder mystery, where they're going to have to solve his murder, his pretend murder. And somehow Detective Blanc gets the invitation to this event. He's never met any of these people, supposedly. So he shows up and Edward Norton's confused as to why he's there. And they try to figure out how he got invited, but they decide, well, you know, as long as you're here, you can participate. And then an actual murder happens of one of the characters that they have to figure out, you know, how this occurred. So that's, you know, that's the basic premise of any one of these murder mystery films. This one is like most of those. It's mostly comedy. There's, you know, some seriousness, but it's played for laughs and like wry satire and social commentary. It's a little bit, you know, there's adult content, we'll put it that way, you know, some scantily clad scenes and innuendo. So this is definitely not a movie for kids. I believe it's rated PG-13.
It is.
Some language, things like that.
What platform is this one on?
Also Netflix.
This is also on Netflix.
See? It's like, that's what you have to ask. Todd's looking at me like, I can't believe you don't know them.
No, I didn't.
I don't know. I don't
say that.
I can't keep
this
up.
This one was just really popular, and I figured you would know because it was all over Twitter.
Oh,
everybody's
yeah.
like, oh, it's Elon. It's Elon. Look at that. But it was written and done before Twitter, you know, before the Twitter person.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so the bottom line on this one is, if you like this kind of movie, a whodunit murder mystery that's kind of light and more, you know, fun, not super serious and dark, you'll probably enjoy this movie. I again, found it boring, but that's I really believe that's just me. I think this is for people who like this sort of thing. You'll probably, if you like the first one, you're going to enjoy this one. And I would say of the two, this one I like a little bit better than the first one. Mm. So.
I thought of a murder mystery movie that Tom McDonald might like, Usual Suspects.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
See?
Didn't like it.
I found something for you there. Tom McDonald, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Mm.
All right. Take care.
Coming up next, Dan Burke. We're going to go into the deep, our spiritual direction segment on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
Heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
It was the last time that they heard you say, sister or brother, I love you.
Beautiful. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning on this Friday. Ellen Taylor and Todd Sylvester on the line with us, who's become our regular Friday spiritual direction director, Dan Burke, and you can connect with him at spiritualdirection.com. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, thanks.
Oh, good.
How are you doing?
I've been contemplating that book that you sent me, Into the Deep.
Nice.
It really made me stop and think just about some things, because I think the problem many of us have is like, yeah, I got the prayer life going. I got things happening. And I realize that the part that I need to work on is the, and use the word in the book, sacredness of the moment. That something is sacred. It's sacred this time I give to God, and I shouldn't just be throwing it away or let me just get it done to check the box. So I've really been contemplating, you know, the theme, the name of the book, Into the Deep, going deeper. And so it's really kind of helped me. So I'm grateful for that. So I'm anxious to see where you're going to lead us today.
Well, God be praised. I'm grateful the book is blessing you.
Mm-hmm.
We have something coming up in Lent that might interest you and your listeners.
Ooh.
We usually will probably have about 10,000 people together this year who will dedicate themselves to developing or deepening their mental prayer over Lent. And I have a film series that I've created that walks through it, and it covers some of the content, all the content of the book, really, but just, of course, in, I think, 6 episodes or whatever. But I think, you know, I can't remember if it was in the recording before the show as I was listening. You know, you said that God has allowed, you know, what's going on, and, you know, we need to walk with joy. But it's really hard to do that if you're not walking close to him, right? If if you don't have that sacred ground where you meet him every day, where you find your peace in him. If you can imagine, I always try to, you know, take us to the first century, and you can imagine the difficulty surrounding Jesus and the persecution of Christianity didn't just begin, you know, after Jesus ascended. It began while he was there. It began, of course, in the book of Acts. And these guys were being beaten. I remember a particular scene where his disciples were told to shut up and to stop talking about Jesus. They were scourged, which was not a minor, they didn't just, you know, in an effeminate way, slap them with a belt and say, you know, you please stop. They beat them bloody to send a message to everyone, to them and to everyone who saw them. They didn't kill them on purpose because they wanted them to be a bloody billboard for their warning against preaching Jesus' name. And what was their response? They rejoiced.
Mm-hmm. That they were found worthy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And why, how is it that they could have, you know, St. Paul talks about this peace that passes understanding, right? Well, they had a joy that passed understanding. And how is that? It's because they intimately knew the one that they were proclaiming. When we know him intimately, it gives us a power and a strength and a peace in the midst of the storm that will compel people to us and help us to help them in the storm. But if we don't draw near to him, because things aren't going to get better before they get worse. I don't know if you guys saw Cardinal Pell's excoriating letter or reflection on the synod on synodality. Mm-hmm. And Cardinal Pell is a very holy cardinal. He was persecuted because he was uncovering corruption. And he was exonerated, God be praised, before he died. But there is a storm brewing or that's underway of epic proportions in the church. But that's not our focus, right? Our focus is on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The focus is on the narrow way to salvation. Our focus is on how it is that we draw near to him so that we might bring as many others with us as possible to heaven. So I loved your comment, both your comments about, you know, God is willing these things, or he either allows them, which is his will, or he causes them, which is his will. He never causes evil, but he allows it. And but our task is to, in the midst of the storm, use the wind and the waves to propel us up the narrow way rather than wreck us against the rocks of despair.
I think the struggle, though, is understanding that the circumstances remain the same either way. And that's where, like, I had a friend about a year ago came and to talk to me, and he said, Todd, I'm struggling because I'm angry at God because of the circumstances. And then he said, you know, how do you deal with anger with God? And I said, well, I can't empathize with you because I've never been angry with God.
Frustrated?
Well, I get frustrated with sin. Uh-huh. I get frustrated with circumstances. I don't get angry at God. Now, people, please don't harp on me and jump all over me over this one, because I understand that that's a regular thing that a lot of people have experienced. But I have been blessed in that I've never found a reason to direct my anger towards God, even when the circumstances are terrible. Now, he was going through a very difficult time. I don't want to share details because he's a regular listener and people know who I'm talking about. But it was very hard what was going on in his life. And I said, listen, it's not upsetting God that you're angry, but you're going to have to work through this. You're going to have to work through this because all he wants is what's best for us. So the circumstances that we're in, albeit extremely difficult at times, he is definitely walking with us, right, Dan?
Yeah, and I would be, you're being very kind, and I think that's appropriate. But I'm writing a book it's a spiritual commentary on the uniformity with God's will by St. Alphonsus Liguori, who's, of course, a doctor of the church. And in that, he warns, and it's no lack of love to warn people who are struggling with this. He warns that it's not a safe place to be angry with God. It's not a safe place to rail against circumstances because we're railing against his will. What we have to do in those moments is, as friends, of course, we pray with the person. But we try to encourage them to understand without free will, there is no love. And free will also necessitates, by definition, the allowance for quite a bit of evil and, harm and difficult things that happen in life. But if you want him to stop allowing these things, what you're asking for is everyone, so at least it's 7:33 a.m. in Alabama time. if we said to God, please stop it all, that means everyone who has not come to Christ before 733 is now in hell for all of eternity.
Ouch. Mm-hmm.
And so it is a great mercy of God that he allows, he provides us the reality to know his love and to give his love back to him, to give our love to one another. But it is a terrible injustice or a terrible thing to say, okay, we're done with mercy. Now I want justice. Fix it all. Now everybody's in hell. Now what are you going to do? You know? So I think we have to help people raise their minds and hearts, which you're proposing, Todd, I think, to the eternal realities of what's going on. We have to say, if you're angry, let's explore that and find out what that's about. Like, what's the lie that you believe? What is it that is disordered about the way we're looking at God, so that we can properly repent and be humble? And then we receive his love and grace and mercy. So I hope I'm not, you know, causing harm here. But that's the message of Alphonsus Liguori on the topic.
Well, I'll be interested to read that book, too. But I think the challenge is somebody that is angry with God. I don't know that they can get to that point. It might take a couple steps because I think a lot of it is inward thinking, too. This has affected me in such a way that my life is traumatized. And it's really hard to see the good hand of God in that, I think, when you're in the midst of something really bad going on. And,
yes.
And that takes almost superhuman understanding or I should say the grace of God in your heart to be able to get to that point, because I don't think it's a point we can get on our own.
Well, you don't just snap your fingers, right? But there is a progressive reality in the interior life and in spiritual maturity where, you know, I grew up in abuse. My stepfather fired a gun in our home and fired a gun in our driveway at another person's car, a 30-06, if you know what that is. Inside the house, it was a handgun. He destroyed our home end to end. I've lived with a life-threatening illness my entire life. I was, you know, profound emotional trauma. But what the message of the New Testament is, the message of the saints is no matter how deep your pain and your wounds, if you will turn to him, he will draw out of those things healing and good. But we must take care to draw near to him and to deal with those questions and get them resolved, because scripture is clear. St. Paul says, have no anxiety about anything, right? The fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I lost my closest sibling at 35. To a tragic and sudden death. I lost a brother at 35 to drug abuse. So I know sorrow and suffering. I'm not just somebody here saying, hey, you know, get over it. But I also know this peace that passes understanding. I'm not saying it's perfect and always that way. But as Christians, it should be our dominant experience that we know joy and peace, even in the midst of the most difficult storms of life.
I think the hardest part for individuals, Dan, is our expectations for blessing. Like, as that conversation continued with my friend, he was like, well, Todd, you know, what do you expect from God? And I kind of laughed. I was like, you know, I know God wants to grant me mercy. That's his desire. He wants to grant me mercy, but my expectations, I don't know if I have any. Because I'm so grateful that I'm alive. I'm so grateful that my heart is beating and I'm not being conscious about that pretty much ever. It's just beating, Dan. It's just beating. And I know that heaven is waiting for me. Yeah. That's just the gift of my baptism. I mean, I'm overjoyed. So if there's not a lot of severe illness in my life or my family, great. You know, if my house got struck by lightning, but it didn't catch on fire. I'm like, super. Does that make sense, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, no, you're exactly right. And your disposition is important, because if you expect, what did Jesus promise we're going to have in this life? Tribulation, rejection, difficulty. If we live for Christ fully, our family will likely hate us. Our children, our siblings, our parents may hate us. But he says, you have to stand with me. And if you stand with me in those storms and in that profound pain and difficulty, I will give you peace. But another thing that you said is really important. A lot of people, when I usually, when somebody says, how are you doing? I say, better than I deserve. And I guess some radio personality says that too. I didn't get it from them. It's just how I feel. And what does that mean? And sometimes people say, well, what do you mean by that? I say, well, I deserve to be in hell for all of eternity for the sins I've committed against God. And I'm not, because of Jesus. Amen. And I'm living and I'm in his hands. Well, you can't be that bad, sometimes people say. And I say, you don't understand. all it takes is one mortal sin or one sin in general to deserve hell. And yet he gave his life and paid that price. And so my expectation of this life, as yours is not one of flittering around with everything being easy. My expectation is it's going to be hard until I meet him face to face. That's when the tears stop. That's when the pain stops. That's when the sorrow stops and the permanent rejoicing begins. Amen. But until then, life is a training ground, a purifying place so that we can come to union with him, which means it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Dan Burke, always good to talk to you, and just the insight you give us is incredible. Check out all of Dan Burke's work at spiritualdirection.com.
Thanks, Dan.
God bless.
You have a great week.
He's
so good.
Indeed.
Final segment on Friday. That's our Sunday Gospel Reflection, Father Mateo.
He's red.
Right?
Make sure you have coffee red. It's plentiful segment.
He's going to join us next on LA Catholic Morning.
Oh, I'm woke up. I wake up.
Then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Reed's here doing his thing. On the line, regular guest, Father Mateusz Rodzik, who is the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul in Tallahassee and St. Joseph's in Tuskegee. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, everyone.
So good to hear your voice.
I got a question for you, too, before we start.
Sure.
So it says here this is the second Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Correct.
Last Sunday was the last Sunday of Easter, I mean Christmas season. So where's the first Sunday in Ordinary Time?
It's really not there.
Why don't we have it?
Well, it's the same reason why you would say you have a birthday and you turn 1 year old. You've already gone through the year. It's already gone through the week.
Oh, I see.
So officially that Sunday, it's just referring to the fact that there's already been the first week of Ordinary Time.
Oh, well.
Because if we said it was the first,
also,
yeah.
If we said it was the first Sunday of Ordinary Time, you would think that it was the first week of Ordinary Time.
All right, I know what you're saying. It just
sorry,
doesn't.
Just technical.
You know, when I look at the calendar, it says second Sunday,
and I
see no first Sunday.
Okay.
I just have questions. I have questions.
Okay, we're in John's Gospel.
Uh-huh.
Ready to dive in, Father?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
The Lord be with you
and with
your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I think it's a beautiful reminder at the beginning of this new year, what really matters in life, and with the baptism of Christ and then dove coming on him as a Holy Spirit, we are being baptized by the same Holy Spirit, and we also are receiving all the gifts in our baptism that Christ received to give it to us. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of peace. And sometimes I wonder, are we really aware that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, that we have those gifts of the Holy Spirit in us, that we don't need to have another revelation to be better, to do something more for Christ, for his church, for people around us, that we have already that's needed. It just often is not activated because we may not have time to pray, we may not have time to work on different disciplines or to even find time to go to the church. And we can ask ourselves, do I have the peace of Christ in this difficult world? Because there's so many troubles in everyday life, so many struggles, needs, worrying events. Do I have that peace from Christ that helps to go through the day with trust that God is in charge, that I can forgive my enemies, I can love them, I can be humble, or let myself be humbled before others if that's needed, and all because we receive the Holy Spirit too, all because we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to the point, why is it? Like, we are so important in this world that God comes, die for us, and give us anointing the Holy Spirit so we can be Him for others, so we can be the change in the world, and that God can work so imperfect, broken vessels. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're contemplating that.
Just letting that sink in, Father.
Yeah.
All right.
It is easy to forget that fact. I mean, we nonchalantly say that we're temples of the Holy Spirit, but as we're walking around in our day-to-day, we don't really think about that, do we, Father?
No, it's easy to forget. And I think that's what being grateful is so important, because practicing gratefulness, we can count the many smaller, bigger blessings, and we can see how many ways we are the center of every life, everyday life. That God, we are in the center of God's eyes, that He is working with us, He's guiding us, that we are receiving a lot every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a conversation with this person who was kind of vocational training, and they're like, well, what's your plan in life? And I didn't even think about this. I just said, I just want to respond to my baptism. And they're like, well, that's nice, Todd, but I was thinking more like a job.
Right. Yeah. How are you going to pay the bills?
Right. But I mean, but deep down, isn't that really where our focus should be, Father?
Yeah. that's the foundation. Responding to our baptismal call and to be prophets who speak the truth. Be priestly people who pray for each other, and be the king's servants who are working for the sake of God's kingdom, or for the sake of others. Be the light. Yes, be the light for the world, and we know that's difficult.
I like this reading for the ebb and flow of the beauty of the liturgical year. So we came off the baptism of the Lord last week, and now your question is, well, now what? I'm baptized. Well, here it is. Mm-hmm. Now you're asked to build upon that baptism you received, and what are you going to do with it? And so now we're kind of getting the blueprint of what we're supposed to do once we are baptized, and here we're going to go out. So, you know, I like things that are perfectly aligned, whether it's a story or symmetrically or something like that. And this really starts us on the path So when you think about it, the second week in ordinary time, let's start fresh again. Let's revisit what we're called to do. Scrape away all of the stuff that's built up, like plaque on the teeth. I went to the dentist yesterday, made me think of that. And let's start new. Mm. Let's start with our call to our baptism, and let's build this year on what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, we don't have to wait for Lent to start doing that.
See? Got that.
There was a television show that one of my kids was watching where they were doing the genealogy, you know, what, Ancestry.com,
oh, yeah.
All this
uh-huh.
kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to trace individuals who had royalty in their bloodline. And it was mm-hmm. fascinating because you had these everyday people right. working at a regular uh-huh. retail outlet, and they find out that they're related to some duke or duchess. Or so then the whole premise of the show was to bring them to Europe to see their relatives in castles, and they've got butlers and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And the whole time when they were describing the show to me, and all I did was watch the trailer. I didn't watch the show. But the whole time I'm thinking, well, that's us. Like, we yeah. forget that we've been adopted by God the Father. Like, we are part of this royal family, and we're living our lives, yes, and we yes. just don't even realize that how connected we are to God. Right, Father?
Yeah, and that's why it's so important in daily prayer to find time to be with God, mm-hmm. find time to have this connection that renews our identity in the daily life, help us to live that vocation, even in small ways, but have the courage and strength to do even small acts of kindness mm-hmm. or forgiveness.
Amen. Mm-hmm. When I read anything about John the Baptist, I've often said that he's on my short list. You know, when I...
People you want to meet?
That I want to meet yep. in heaven. I mean, I just want to make a beeline right to him, because he's an individual that when you study his history also, he really could have had his life kind of set. Being a son of Zechariah in the priestly class, he could have just been very connected to the temple. Everything would have been fine in his life. And yet God called him out into the wilderness, and it was a life of difficulty and hardship and rejection, and ultimately it cost him his head. But it's one where he did what he was called to do. And I look at that and I think, you know, I just need to be more like John the Baptist. I just need to do what God wants me to do, regardless of where the chips fall. Does that make sense, Father?
Yeah, and I think that's an important perspective, because yeah, he could be a priest in the temple and be the high priest, but that would not be what God calls him to do.
Mm-hmm. Instead, he's eating bugs and
yeah, exactly.
wild honey.
Locusts, I think, too, or yeah. something.
That's a bug.
And the,
yeah, that's why I said that.
The sackcloth, whatever he wore.
Camel's yeah. hair.
See?
Put some pepper on it.
It's exactly. Good. Something uncomfortable and itchy. That is it. Oh, Father.
Did you come out in the wilderness to see someone wearing fine clothes?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
Father Mateus.
Some oysters, please.
So it's always good to you, and it's good to talk to you about the Sunday Gospel Reflection. And is there anything going on up there at your parish? Maybe people in our neck of the woods could take a little visit, Sunday drive up, stop for Mass?
Yeah, everyone is welcome, and just come to the church a few minutes before, so you'll find a place to sit.
Oh.
Yeah, because the small church, it gets full quickly.
Praise the Lord.
Bursting at the seams.
A full church, that's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, very
by design.
Good.
May we have your blessing before you go, Father?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another year, new beginnings, new chances, opportunities. Just to bless all who listen to this radio and help us to follow you. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father Mateus, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We thank our sponsor, Alabama Smile Design, at 4720 Airport Boulevard in Mobile, with patient comfort and convenience. Alabama Smile Design offers general cosmetic and implant dentistry. Let's face it, life's better with teeth. Call 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com. Beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, actually, we have the day off for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but we'll re-air an encore episode of L.A. Catholic Morning, so one of our previous episodes, probably from last week. So I don't have enough in the can to produce a best of. So
that's fine.
No problem.
So are you going to give us Tuesday's guest, or you're
no, still working on
probably that?
Probably okay. Monday.
It's a mystery.
Oh well, come back next week for more
mystery
good
bag.
Stuff.
Mystery bag.
Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Mm-hmm. Let's be the light under the world, because the world needs us. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.